Good morning. Today we'd like to see your likeness in the book of Psalm chapter 17 verses 1 through 15. For online courses, we'd like to suggest the three questions. What do the following phrases mean? Number 1, in verse 1, a just cause. Number 2, in verse 3, I have a purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. Last question in verse 15, satisfaction in your likeness. Again, what do the following phrases mean? Number 1, in verse 1, a just cause. In verse 3, I have a purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. The last question in verse 15, satisfaction in your likeness. This psalm was written by David. He wrote this psalm while he was being persecuted by Saul and his followers. But David honored the anointed ones by God. Although he had a chance to touch Saul, he refused to touch him. One example in Book Numbers chapter 12, we saw Moses married an Ethiopian woman. At that time, God specifically prohibited to make intermarriage with different races, unlike the New Testament. So Aaron and Miriam accused Moses intermarriage. That might have a good reason according to God's word, but God rebuked Aaron and Miriam. So Miriam got punishment from God as a reparation. In this context, it teaches us in the book of James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, the judge only is God, not man. We are the doer of the law. So God is judge to make a sentence, to make a punishment, also a law maker. But we are doer of the law, which is God's word. So we are doer of God's word. Verse 1, hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry, give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Just cause meaning innocent cause. We know that Saul and the sorts of followers accused falsely David and persecuted David. So basically, David petitioned to God, please hear my innocent cause or my grievance cause. So just cause means right cause, not contaminated with the false accusation or the cause which is pure from any accusation. Also here, give ear to my prayer, so which means listen to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. My prayer is honest, not from deceitful lips. Deceitful lips means cheating or a double tongue. The First Timothy chapter 3 verse 8, double tongues. So some people made a word, but they didn't keep the word. That's called double tongues or deceitful lips. So our Christian attitude, when we make word, we should keep the word, or we should try to keep the word. Psalm chapter 15 verse 4 said, he who swears to his own, which meaning He who makes unrevocable promise to his own, even if hurt, he does not change. So basically, we as example to the world should keep word. Verse 2, let my sentence come from your presence. What types of sentence? From God. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright or that are equal. So basically, David wants equal sentence. So Bible encourages equal treatment. In James, we saw that one rich person come to church. So the ushers seriously or politely takes care over the rich comer. But the poor man came into church, but the usher did not, take care over the poor man. Some kind of unequal treatment. So the Bible describes unequal treatment. Also Romans, there is no difference between Jews and the Greek. Whoever calls upon him is rich. The issue is the matter of heart dedicated to the Lord, not race or culture difference at all. Verse 3, you have tested my heart, so please check my heart. You have visited me in the night. So God visited David in the night, meaning David, was thinking over God at night. You have tried me and have found nothing, which meaning no cause to be blamed or to be accused. I have a purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. Even if somebody transgresses by accusing me, but I do not intend to transgress by accusing back to him. So basically not sin to sin. So I want to keep God's word against any accusation which is in the violation of God's word. Verse 4, concerning the works of man, by the words of your lips, I have kept away from the path of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your path, that my footstep may not slip. Basically, David said, because I keep God's words, that's why I can keep away from the paths of the destroyer, which means I can have a tremendous defense against the destroyer because I kept God's word. Also, I can uphold my steps in your paths. So still, I can work in your ways. So also, my footstep may not slip into a wrong path. So God's word is the best defense against destroyer. We see Jesus, God the three temptations, but Jesus got victory over all three temptations by using God's word. It is written. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, basically God's word living and powerful. So God's word is not dead. Living meaning God's word is practicable, also powerful. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17, God's word is the sword of the spirit. So God's word can distinguish which one is evil or which one is good. God's word is a sword, very sharper than any two-edged sword. That's God's word. So God's word is tremendous defense against a destroyer trick or a destroyer the scheme. Verse 6, I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Right here, David made a fervent plea, right here. I have called upon you. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. So the God is an audience, because incline your ear to me. So pay attention to me. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. Basically, right here, David keeps God's words. Also, David trusts in God. Therefore, God will handle those accusations, those the false persecution. So God shows marvelous loving kindness to David. So we can experience, let the Lord defend us, then the Lord will defend us. But if we try to defend ourselves, the Lord allows us to defend ourselves. But often we can experience that we are not capable to defend ourselves efficiently. So somebody false accusation or persecution against me, you should pray to the Lord. We should keep God's word. Then let the God defend me. We need this kind of attitude. That kind of attitude is verse 7. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. Your right hand is the metaphor, or that is a speech of a figure. God has a human hand, kind of thing. So God has no human hand, but prescriber with this kind of poetry. One who saved those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. So to trust God to defend ourselves, so God shows God's marvelous loving kindness, like by God's right hand, also against those who are against me. Verse 8, keep me as the apple of your eye. Also right here, the apple of your eye, like the figure of a speech, more like the touchable to us. God is omnipresent everywhere. So just the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. This one is also the figure of a speech, metaphor. One example, the shadow of your wings, there is a figure of speech for God's protection, right? The shadow of your wings, like a mother chicken takes care of her shadow, under her shadow, her young, chicks, that kind of meaning. Moses used this kind of metaphor too, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. This kind of the Moses sees the eagle, an eagle, the mother brought a young the chick eagle, then in heaven, then drop over. Then is a young the eagle, the exercise to make a muscle, not to drop on the earth. Then moment, the eagle, the mother, is spreading out the young eagle, take off, then covering them on its wings again. So that kind of an eagle, the mother, repeat to the soul in order to give her muscle strength to young eagle to fly, well. That kind of thing. So right here, the last verse, the point is carrying them. An eagle, the mother, is carrying the young eagle on her mother's wings. From the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. So basically, God, the kept David as the apple over God's eye, also hide David under the shadow of your wings, like some kind of expression of loving kindness, taking care of the God's people. Where? From the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. Verse 10, they have closed up their path. They meaning enemies or the wicked people, soul and the soul follows without cause to hurt David. They have closed up their fat heart. So their hearts got a lot of fat, which means their heart are stubborn to the Lord. With their mouths, they speak proudly, arrogantly. So we know that God's character, characteristic is like, God gave grace to the humble, but resist the proud people. So those wicked people, proud people, they have now surrounded us in our steps. So the soul and soul follows, surrounded, David and David follows in our steps. They have set their eyes, crouching down to the earth, crouching down. So like climbing, the secretly down to the earth in order to pounce on David. As a lion is eager to tear his prey, breaking apart his prey, and like a young lion lurking in secret place. So young lion is hiding in secret places in order to pound upon David, or in order to eat up, David, catch up David. Verse 13, arise, O Lord. So let the Lord, defend me. Arise, O Lord, confront him. Resist them, resist the wicked man, cast him down. So, that is a cast down, strike down. Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword. So, deliver my life from the wicked. Right here, we can see, David tried to trust in the Lord, in 100% way. First of all, 14, with your hand from man, O Lord, man means wicked man, from man of the world, who have their portion in this life. Those wicked men or unbelievers, those who do not fear of God, they lie upon their portion in this life on the earth, in this physical life on the earth. So they invest their time, energy, labor in earthly thing alone, such as money, powers, fame, physical health, that's it. But compared to from and whose valley? This is a believer, you know, or David, you know, believers, those who trust in God's valley. You, God, fill with your hidden treasure. So their portion coming from God. So their portion in God, but the other wicked man, their portion is in this life on the earth. So our portion is in God. So with your hidden treasure, so they are satisfied with children. So we believer satisfied, satisfaction right here, satisfied with children as a gift of a womb coming from God. So, and leave the rest of their possession for their babies. So also they can, you know, continue living the left, you know, possession to their children. So who, you know, to who are those who trust in God. So those, you know, trust, those who trust in God put earthly things as a tool to be used for eternal kingdom, for the kingdom of God. So, but in contrast, those who have their portion in the in this life on this earth, so earthly things alone, so they do not have any satisfaction, any contentment, you know, at all when, you know, those earthly things, you know, pass away. So earthly things, you know, sometimes they pass away, depend on, you know, nothing longer than their, you know, physical life, you know. So certainly during their physical life, you know, earthly thing, you know, fade away anyway, but eternal thing will never fail. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. So David will see, you know, God's face in righteousness. So I shall be satisfied, right here, satisfied again, when I awake in your likeness. Your likeness meaning in likeness of God, you know, your likeness. So God, you know, created man in God's image. But God, so the man the committed sin, disobeying, you know, God's commandment by eating forbidden fruit. So that moment, man's relationship with God was broken. So that's why God loved the world. The world meaning all people. God loved the world, you know, so much. That's why God gives us His only begotten Son. So His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, is perfect. So Jesus Christ was dead with bloodshed and resurrected. So we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those believers' relationship with God is restored. So that's, you know, God's, you know, ultimate purpose for the people at the present situation. So when, you know, our relationship is restored upon our face, so our life ultimate purpose is being sanctified with the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So ultimately we will be glorified just as the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see, you know, several Bible verses. The first John chapter 3 verse 2 said, "Beloved, now you are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be in the future tense. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Jesus." Yeah, we're like Him, like Jesus. "For we shall see Him as He is." This last phrase is similar to, "As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake in your likeness." So this one is the today in a Christian looking for to Jesus, Jesus' second coming in heaven during my life. So we will see Jesus before my physical death. So the present my life is being sanctified by the Holy Spirit with the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or before Jesus' second coming in heaven, if I die physically, so at that moment my soul and spirit immediately, or in absence of my physical body, my soul and spirit immediately to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, to see the Lord Jesus Christ as Jesus is. The 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory." So we also will be glorified when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ, either by rapture or by physical death before the rapture. Glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So His Spirit is working in us continually, forever. So also Paul speaks of the purpose of the church in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Basically, for the equipping of the saints, meaning believers, for the work of a ministry, for the work of service, for the edifying of the body of Christ, building up the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, in order to a perfect man or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Right, so the ultimate goal is to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, meaning full image of Christ. That's our goal the purpose of God to each person. So we see that. So let's see. What do the following the phrase mean? In verse 1, a just cause, meaning a right cause, irrelevant with souls of false accusation, or innocent cause. In verse 3, I have a purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. Although the wicked transgressed against me by accusing falsely, but I intended not to transgress by accusing back to the anointed one who is Saul, the former king. In verse 15, satisfaction in your likeness. What does it mean? So satisfaction comes from God, not in earthly thing at all. So the David will have a satisfaction when he awakes in God's likeness. Likewise, we also will be glorified when I see Jesus in Jesus' image, that kind of means so. Let's pray together with the Lord's Prayer, so then we can sing, then we conclude today's sermon.